The parable of the Pharisee and the publican is one of Jesus' typical parables in that there is a major reversal of expectation. The problem that we have with this parable is that we tend in a post-Jewish community to hear this in a way that is not a reversal of expectations. So what needs to happen in the telling of the story is that the basic character of this as a parable that reverses expectations be done in the telling of the story. So the prayer of the Pharisee is a confident and pious prayer. There is an unusual degree of confidence and even self-exaltation in the parable, but don't make fun of him in the telling of it. Make it be the tone of a normal Protestant Catholic prayer. The posture is that he is standing and opening his arms in prayer, and it is a prayer with some significant volume so that he could be heard by others. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. There's no petition. There's no confession. O Lord, I thank you. So the sound of the Pharisee's prayer is then the sound of one who is giving thanks for the righteousness that he has been given by God. It is not a bad prayer. So it is a prayer of thanksgiving. And the Greek word at the beginning of the prayer is eucharisteo. So the parable is a reversal because it's the Pharisee who is religious and who cares about practicing his religion. The tax collector's words are the words of a sinner who recognizes his sin and is beating his breast. And the prayer is a quiet prayer of humility. Posture is either that he was sitting or kneeling, not looking up, quiet, and beating his breast. Now, I would suggest that as you tell the parable that you do that, and that his prayer is short and therefore slow. Now, this prayer was told to Jews by other Jews. In the original context, Jesus. In the later context, by Luke and the storytellers who told Luke's story. The expectation, then, was that it was the religious man who would be justified by God. But the expectation of this parable is, then, that the listeners will identify with the Pharisee and be alienated from the tax collector. This parable may even have been told originally to Pharisees. Now, Pharisees were advocates of rigorous observance of the law. They were observant. They sought to even go beyond normal expectations. And so that is reflected in his prayer. To fast twice a week was not normal. Once a week was as much as was expected in the first century. Later, in the second, third century, 2 days a week became a custom. But in the first century, 2 days a week was supererogation. It was going beyond. And a tithe on everything that he made was also more than was expected from the tithe. So in most tithes by most Jews in the first century, there would be things that would not be tithed. But this Pharisee tithed everything that he made. So there was a basis of his righteousness. The tax collector's prayer and his status was, of course, that they were hated. They were regarded as corrupt and sinful men because they were. They were hired by the Romans to collect taxes for the Romans, and the normal practice was the tax collectors would add to the required tax their own cut, and that they became very wealthy. So they benefited from the Roman occupation and were the administrators of the Roman tax system in the towns and cities of Galilee and Judea. And because they profited from this, and because it was patently a exploitation of the people, they were hated and were regarded as the most criminal and corrupt of those in Galilean and Judean society. The tax collector's prayer has become the Jesus prayer in the Orthodox tradition. The prayer in the Orthodox tradition is, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this is a prayer that is in some monastic communities and in some parts of Orthodoxy would be prayed virtually all the time, either consciously or unconsciously. We can imagine that the listeners would have pictured these two men in the court of Israel, that is the inner court of the temple, the Pharisee well forward in the middle, out where he could be seen, a tax collector along the wall, either kneeling or sitting, and in as far as possible hiding himself from public view. The overall impact of this parable is then a kind of shock that the tax collector would go to his home justified, is a complete reversal of expectations. So the question is, why? Why would he be seen as righteous in the eyes of God rather than the one who is clearly righteous? And Jesus' comment is an explanation of this, that those who humble themselves will be found righteous. They will be exalted. Whereas those who exalt themselves will be found as sinners. So this is a parable that invites everyone who hears it to reflect on their own claims to righteousness, their own claims to goodness, and whether that puts them in a position of reconciliation with God, or whether what are the places, what are the dynamics of recognition of our own sinfulness, of our need for mercy. So the recommendation of the parable that is implicit in it is to humble yourself before God and to seek for a position of recognition of our dependence on God's grace. So this is a parable of Jesus that was addressed to folks who were religious and who were confident of their goodness in the eyes of God. So, to tell this in a way that would invite others to reflect on their own position in relation to God and their true sources of both humility and of righteousness. It's what this parable invites us to think about. The invitation of the parable is to shock people into thinking.